Welcome. I'm Grayson Wilson. This is the Victory Life Ministries, and I'm hopping on today talking to you about how to receive a breakthrough. Go ahead and share this. Send this out to somebody that needs a breakthrough right now. Anybody that needs an encounter with God, anybody that needs an encounter with the presence of Jesus, anybody that needs a victory over the devil, or somebody that's struggling with addiction or depression, anything at all that you're struggling with, all you need is one encounter with Jesus to turn your whole situation around right now, even watching this video. The power of the Word of God is so great that all it takes is to hear it through your phone screen, and that Word will jump into your situation and turn everything around. It'll kick the devil out of your life. It'll give you a breakthrough. It'll strengthen your spirit. It'll give you insight into the Word of God, revelation that kicks the devil out of your life. Any area of ignorance in your life that the devil's been preying upon, God will fix that tonight by shining the light of the Word of God into your situation. Hallelujah. I hope you like the studio. We updated the lighting, and I think it looks way better. Praise the Lord. Tonight's going to be a good night. I felt in my spirit to do this about breakthrough, because I feel like there's people that need a breakthrough from the Lord. People that have been stuck in a situation for a while, and via either because they haven't been able to receive the grace of God, or they don't know how to go forward with God, or how to get from God what they need, or because the devil's been holding you in a corner or backed you up against the wall with a sickness or a financial problem or a problem in the workplace, a problem in your career, a stagnation in your life, a problem in your family or your marriage or with your kids, that you don't know how to win the battle. You don't know how to triumph over the devil. Tonight, God's going to give you the answer. Man, I'm already fired up. Glory to God. Let's get into it. So first, I want to define what a breakthrough is. So a breakthrough is whenever you have divine intervention that moves you from a place of struggle or a place of stagnation to a place of success. It's a divine intervention that moves you from a place of struggle or stagnation to a place of success. So this divine intervention can be described as one or two of as being basically receiving grace from God, receiving God's help. Every single stagnation or struggle or battle can basically come down to one of two things. Either the devil has a strength over you, or the devil's attacking you and needs to be destroyed or pushed off of you, bound and cast out, whatever you want to say, that you need to defeat the devil, or that you need to access God's grace and power. Excuse me. Or that you need to access God's grace and God's power to win a victory. God's grace is God's empowerment for you to prosper. It's God's empowerment upon you to succeed, to win, to triumph, to get the victory. So the grace of God always delivers to you the victory. And the grace of God gives you the strength required to destroy the devil and to kick the devil out of your life. Hallelujah. So all it takes for you to get a breakthrough is for you to receive the grace of God into your heart and into your life, to receive God's power. You know, Christianity is not a religion, and it's not a belief system. Christianity is accessing the power of God for your life to first to be resurrected from the dead spiritually. It says it's by grace that you've been saved through faith, and that it's not of yourselves, but it's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. So to be saved, you have to access the grace of God. But the grace of God is God's empowerment from heaven that literally takes you from being a dead vessel, a dead person, spiritually dead, to being a resurrected, alive, filled with the eternal life of God Christian that has the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, that's been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and has a brand new life. Literally, the Bible says God's masterpiece, God's creative masterpiece, where the creative life of God went on the inside of you and brought you to life and filled you with the Spirit, cleansed you by the blood, and made you a brand new creation. The Bible says that you are that anybody that's in Christ is a new creature, and that everything old's passed away and everything's become new. So that literally means there's some translations that say a brand new creature or species of being that's never before been seen on the earth. Literally, you become a brand new person. And it says all old things have passed away and everything has become new. That can't happen unless God's power comes on the scene and changes you from the inside out. But the same power that saved you is also the same power that heals you. And it's also the same power that prospers you and blesses you and causes you to become great, causes you to do great things for God. And that same power that does all of those things is the same power that you receive when you receive a breakthrough. So all it takes tonight to receive a breakthrough from God is to access fresh power from heaven, to access something new from God. This wasn't in my notes, but here's what I want you to do. Go to Luke chapter 3, and I'm gonna read you something. This is about Jesus. Hallelujah. I see you going to another level tonight. I see God sending something, some power from heaven for you to break you out into a whole nother realm of life. Maybe I should do Mark 1. Yes. Okay, listen to this. It came, verse 9, Mark 1, verse 9 says this. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately, coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now Luke 3 says it this way. When all the people were baptized, verse 21, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased." Now after this, Matthew says that the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness to fast and to pray and to seek God for 40 days. And then verse 14, I believe, of Luke chapter 4 says this. It says, "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding regions, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all." So before this moment, Jesus had not been identified as the Son of God. His identity had not been released. He was just the carpenter's kid. He was just the guy from Galilee. He was the dude that worked with like wood and built chairs and stuff. But then Jesus had one encounter where when he prayed, the heavens opened and the power of God was released upon his life. And from then on, he went from being somebody that nobody knew to being somebody that was identified as the Son of God, who carried the power of God and brought breakthrough to everybody's life that ever had contact with him. So he received the power of the Spirit of God. But what happened was, all it took was one moment where the heavens opened and God dropped his power upon his life for his whole destiny to turn around, for everything to start, for the great plan of God to begin. So I declare tonight that you will receive power from heaven for a breakthrough. Receive power from God right now. I declare an open heaven over your life right now. And I declare that the power of God will fall upon you tonight and give you breakthrough in every area. And I decree right now that that stagnation comes to an end in your life. That anything that's been held up, any promise that's been awaiting, that you haven't seen the breakthrough yet, I declare right now, by the mighty name of Jesus Christ, that breakthrough comes and knocks at your door tonight. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4:16 says this, "Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may find mercy and grace to help in our time of need." If you are in need, that means you need a breakthrough. If you're in need, it means you don't have something, and until you have it, you will not succeed. You will not press forward. But the Bible says all you have to do is, just like when Jesus prayed, go and pray to God and ask God for grace and for mercy. Mercy is God pardoning you from something. Grace is God empowering you to do something. But the Bible says that the throne of God is the throne of grace, so that whenever you come before God with faith, you come to the throne of grace and petition God and pray and ask for grace and mercy in your time of need. And all it takes is to ask God tonight for grace, and God will give you a supernatural breakthrough. So ask God right now. Cry out to God right now and say, God, I want a breakthrough tonight. God, I want to go to another level, and I want to kick the devil out of my life for good. And the moment that you cry out to God, God's grace will fall from heaven upon you and will destroy every work of the devil and will force the devil to loose his hands off of your life. I see you going. I see that happening to you right now. I feel it in my spirit. Glory to God. So breakthrough, I have 6 points here, and I'm sure there's more than six, but this is the six that I have. 6 points about breakthrough, that when you understand these points, breakthrough is inevitable. Not only will this give you the breakthrough tonight, but this will cause you to live a life of perpetual breakthrough, where you'll never ever be stuck ever again. No devil will ever be able to keep you bound from this day forward, whenever you understand these things. Number one is this, that breakthroughs are always commanded by light. What do I mean by that? Well, when light shines, darkness flees. It's a law. It's never broken. That the moment that light comes on the scene, darkness flees cheaply. It's dark. You never see a struggle between light and darkness. Ever. The moment light comes, darkness disappears, and it's not even a contest. Some things in life are battles, where blows are exchanged, and then one person wins, like in a boxing match. Two people fight, two people hit each other, but then one person wins. But there's also contests in life where no battles are exchanged, or no blows are exchanged, yet one person wins. The victory of light over darkness is triumphant. There isn't a struggle. There isn't a contest. It's an automatic victory for light without any conflict. So in the same way, when light from God shines upon your life, the devil and the kingdom of darkness flees cheaply. It flees without contest. And so whenever you access light from God, it gives you triumph. It gives you immediate breakthrough. And so any area of your life where the devil's plaguing you is an area of your life, many times, where you lack revelation light. There's something in the Word of God that you haven't seen yet. There's a light from the Word that hasn't gotten into your heart and that hasn't caused the devil to kick out of your life. So when understanding comes, light appears and darkness is driven out. Go to Psalm 119, verse 130. It says this, "The entrance of your words gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple." So the Word of God, the words of God contain the Spirit and the life of God. Jesus said in John 6, the words that I speak to you are Spirit and their life. The words that I speak to you are Spirit and their life. What does that mean? That means that the words that Jesus speaks, the words that come out of the Father's mouth, contain the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God and the anointing, and they contain the divine nature of God. They contain God, literally. The divine life of God is the divine nature of God. Eternal life is God's nature. It's who He is. So when He gives you His life, He's giving you Himself. So the words of Jesus contain Spirit and they contain life. And the Bible says, in Jesus was life, and that life was the light of mankind. So that means that the Word of God contains the light of God. And so the moment that the Word of God enters into your spirit, you see something, light breaks forth, and darkness flees. And the eyes of your spirit immediately see something in the Bible that you did not see before. God spoke to Abraham and He said, go outside, look at the stars, and as far as you could see, that is land that I've given unto you, and every star that you see in the sky, so shall your descendants be. He had Abraham go and look. He gave Abraham something to see. In the moment that he saw something different than what his current circumstance was, it gave him the ability to access it. And here's the other thing, is that your faith is built by your understanding. So anything that you understand, it's very easy for you to believe it. For example, if somebody were to tell you something crazy, like something really crazy, right? A crazy like statement, you probably wouldn't believe them immediately. But then if the person explained and gave you an understanding of why they were saying what they're saying, you could be convinced to believe it. It's the same thing with the Word of God. If God says if somebody says it's God's will for every single Christian to be healed, you might if you grew up Baptist, you might not believe that. But then if I told you, I said, well, the Bible says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death, which means that because the Spirit dwells in you and overflows out of you into your body, that the Holy Spirit destroys sickness out of your body, and all of the law of sin and death and all of the sickness that comes from sin is destroyed out of your body because of the outflow of the river of God, the outflow of the Spirit of God into your body. And I explained it to you and I gave you an understanding of how God will destroy sickness out of your body by the Spirit of God, then it's like, oh, okay, I understand. I see now how I could be healed. Understanding and light from the Scriptures causes darkness in every hidden thing, every area where the devil can hide in your life due to your ignorance or things that you don't see. It destroys that hiding place of the devil. It's like this. It's like when you're walking through a room that's dark. You can stumble and stub your toe and struggle over and over and over again. But then the moment that the lights are flipped on, you see everything clearly. You see something new. You now know how to navigate that room. That's the way it is whenever you receive understanding. So the moment that the word of God enters your spirit, light comes and darkness flees. Colossians 1 verse 12. It says that you've been redeemed out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So catch this. If you were bound in the prison of darkness and you were liberated from the prison of darkness that's in the center of the kingdom of darkness, how much more will you not be liberated from the suburbs of the kingdom of darkness? Jesus didn't come just to get you out of the prison of darkness. He didn't come just to get you out of hell. He came to set you free from all sickness and disease. He came to set you free from all poverty and lack. He came to set you free from every single thing that the devil will bring against your life. You know, the Lord gave me a revelation recently that when they applied the blood in Exodus to the doorposts of every person's house, the destroyer, the spirit of death, was not able to enter. And that blood represented the blood of Jesus. But notice this. Anybody that didn't have the blood applied to the doorpost, the spirit of death went in and killed the firstborn son. But notice this. The spirit of death was not even able to enter into the house if the blood was applied to the doorposts. And what's that saying? In the same way, the blood of Jesus has been applied to the doorposts of your life. And so anything that's inside of the door, anything that's inside of the house would be your house, all of your possessions, all of your children, your body, everything. But all of that includes your body, your children, and your possessions. So the blood of Jesus didn't come just to liberate you from sin. The blood of Jesus covered your sin. But it covered your sickness, it covers your children, it covers your possessions, it covers everything that pertains to your life, which means that the moment that you were saved, you were freed from every oppression of the devil in every single area of your life. So I decree right now in the name of Jesus, be free from every single attack of the devil right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Receive a breakthrough by the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over your life. There's not a single area of darkness where the devil will be able to hide anymore. The light of God shines upon your life right now, and you receive an encounter with the light of God. Isaiah 60 verse 1, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And then the Bible says, who are these that fly like a dove? Who are these that fly over all the challenges of life? Glory to God. So number one, breakthroughs are always commanded by light. Light from the Word of God. Revelation and understanding of the Word of God. Number two is this, and it builds on number one. Breakthroughs are a product of word encounters and developing your spirit man. Go to Jeremiah 23, verse 29. Says this. This is God speaking. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock into pieces? So tell me this. Has the word of God changed, and will the word of God ever change? The word of God is eternal. The word of God is an eternal covenant. And the power of the word of God is eternal. The word of God has just as much power before the creation of the world as it does during the creation of the world. And even now. And so the same way that God created the world with his words, that same creative power that's in his words are still in his words that are in this Bible. The same fire that's contained in the word of God is still contained in this Bible. The same shattering power, the power of a hammer to break apart a rock, is the same power that's in this word right now. Which means all it takes to receive a breakthrough is to have an encounter with the power of the Word of God. The Word of God contains, the Spirit of God. So when you receive the Word into your heart and you have an encounter with it, where you recognize the truth of it and you realize the power of it and you accept it with faith and act on it, in that moment, the Spirit of the Word is loosed into your life. The Spirit of the Lord is loosed against any works of the devil. The Bible says that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, which means when you speak the Word of God out of your mouth, the sword of the Spirit goes out of your mouth and cuts the head off of the devil. It wages war against the devil. The Word of God is the sword that you use to attack the devil with. It's the weapon. So when you declare the Word of God, you get victory over the devil and you usher in breakthrough. But catch this. Breakthrough is also a product of developing your spirit man. Go to Luke 22, verse 31. This will help you. Luke 22, verse 31 says this. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Now go to Matthew 7, and I'm going to explain to you what this means. Verse 24 says this, Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So what he's saying is, he says to Peter, he says, Simon, the devil has desired to sift you like wheat. So what does that mean? Well, when you sift wheat, what you do is you're taking the whole pile of the wheat, and you're tossing it in the air so that the fake grass or the fake wheat, the stuff that's not actually wheat, which is what's called the chaff, will be blown away by the wind because it's light. And the Bible says that the chaff is gathered and that the chaff is always burned. It's signifying fire. It's signifying hell. It's signifying that when it's tossed up, the genuine wheat that's heavier won't blow away. But the chaff that's light will be blown away by the wind. And so what does the wind symbolize? The wind is the devil. You see, the devil will attack you with like a windstorm, just like he did literally to Jesus. Jesus was asleep in the bottom of a boat, and all of a sudden a windstorm came on the lake, and it caused the waves to be so high that they thought they were going to drown. So Jesus is saying the devil desired to bring a windstorm on your life, to try to onslaught you, to try to bring such a storm against your life that you would be blown away like chaff. And in fact, he's saying the devil believed that you aren't really as great as you think that you are. The devil believes that you're a lightweight in the spirit. The devil believes that you're light and weightless like chaff, and that if he attacks you, he'll blow you away so that you're destroyed. But then what's Jesus say? He says, but I've prayed for you, Peter, that your faith will not fail. So the key to your faith not failing is for you to no longer be a lightweight in the spirit, for you to become weighty in the spirit. And how do you do that? Well, the number one way to gain weight in the spirit is by the Word of God. And why is that? Because the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is food. The Bible is spiritual food that you eat. And whenever you eat the Word and you receive the food of the Word, you become heavier in the spirit. You become stronger in your spirit, man. You can carry greater spiritual armor, and you can, you're weightier in the spirit, so that when the devil brings a windstorm, it doesn't blow you on your back. You see what I'm saying? And the Bible talks about how there's the milk of the Word, there's the meat of the Word, there's the strong meat of the Word, and then there's the honey of the Word. But it says about the meat of the Word, or the strong meat, it says that it's for those that have developed their spiritual senses to discern good and evil. So it's basically saying that's people that have developed their spirit to be able to receive the Word and the Spirit of the Word, to receive the Spirit of power in the Word, to receive the life of God that's in the Word, to receive the anointing that's in the Word and the fire that's in the Word, so that the moment it gets into their spirit, it just flows right through their vessel, right out of their words, and destroys the devil with the sword of the Spirit. So all it takes tonight to get a breakthrough is to receive the strong meat of the Word that makes you stronger than you were before, so that any weight, that any wind that the devil's been bringing against you, you're no longer blown over by it, but you're strong and you could stand your ground. The Bible says to be strong in the, go to Ephesians 6. I see you gaining strength tonight in the Spirit. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. The Bible talks about how heavy Goliath's armor was. It was like two or three times heavier than the normal armor. So because his body was stronger and bigger, he was able to carry heavier armor and to carry a heavier sword. And because of that, he became like a war hero. You know, he wasn't supposed to be defeated. Like, he was supposed to, like, not die. It was a miracle from God that the stone was guided. And not only that, but that the force of the stone was thrown so hard that it sank into his skull. It, like, defied physics. It was literally the Spirit of God that empowered David for that victory. So you can become bigger in the Spirit whenever you learn to ingest the food of the Word of God. And the Bible talks about how that at this, in that verse, it says, at this time, you ought to be teachers of the Word of God, but you still are like unskilled babes, babies that can't discern. And so because of that, we have to continue to feed you the milk of the Word. Tonight, I'm giving you the meat and the strong meat of the Word of God. Because by it, when you ingest the strong meat of the Word of God, your spirit becomes bigger, and you won't be blown over any longer by the devil. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So number two, breakthroughs are a product of word encounters and developing your spirit, man. Number three, breakthroughs are worked out by faith. The Bible says in 1 John 5, verse 4, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. Faith ushers in victory, and faith ushers in breakthroughs. The Bible says this about faith. It says, without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God. For anyone that would come to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. My guy Nate is on the live stream tonight. What's going on with his light back here? It's like a power surge hit it. Thank you for hopping on, Nate. I love you, brother. Looking forward to seeing you at church on Sunday. I guess, or a spiritual, we have spiritual emphasis this week. So number three, breakthroughs by faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6. By faith, it's impossible to please God. Forever would come to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And then Romans 4, it says, Abraham grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and that he did not consider his body, even though he was as good as dead. So faith does not consider the circumstances, and faith is an active living force that makes you strong. It strengthens you for breakthrough. So Abraham did not have the breakthrough at first, but as he became strong in faith, he received the breakthrough. Faith is the only way to receive the things that God has for you to receive. Faith is the channel through which God delivers you every single miracle. And so breakthrough is worked out by your faith. Because the moment you get in faith, you believe the things that you speak, and you believe the word of God, and you act upon it. And the moment you obey God, that's whenever God can bring the breakthrough. Faith commits God to his end of the covenant. Faith, through your words and through your actions, usher in God to bring in his side of the covenant and to fulfill his promise on your behalf. Hallelujah. Now, number four is this. The anointing of the Holy Spirit breaks every yoke and ushers in breakthrough immediately. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. Go to Isaiah 10, verse 27. This is what it says. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil or because of the anointing. So the Bible makes it clear that every yoke of the devil upon your neck is destroyed because of the anointing. Acts 10:38, it says this. It says, you know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. So Jesus was anointed by God to go and to destroy every single oppression of the devil. If you need a breakthrough, that means that you need God to destroy every oppression of the devil, that you need God to destroy anything that the devil has his hands on. And the Bible makes it clear that you struggle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. But what happens is when you get revelation of the fact that you have the Holy One on the inside of you, that the man of war dwells on the inside of you, that you carry the glory and the presence of God, that the anointing of God gives you the victory and destroys the work of the devil. It destroys every yoke. The moment the anointing comes on the scene, it doesn't matter what principality is at play. It doesn't matter what power is at play. It doesn't matter if the devil himself is the one standing at your door telling you that you can't be free. The anointing destroys every work of the devil. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ. Every spiritual blessing has been given to you in Christ. Every spiritual grace, every grace that you need to receive a breakthrough is yours right now because of what Jesus did on the cross. Which means that the anointing is available tonight. And as a man of God, I decree by the anointing that the devil will take his hands off of you right now in the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, every devil that has his hands on your life right now, that oppression of the devil comes to an end tonight by the anointing in the mighty name of Jesus. Every oppression of the devil holds or has some type of name. Cancer has the name cancer. Poverty has the name poverty. It's a name that's been given to it to identify what the oppression is. Even devil, like Beelzebub, is a name of a demon. So demon spirits, or the oppressions that come from them, are all given a name. But the Bible says that the name of Jesus is the name above every other name. It carries more authority than every other name. And it forces the oppression or the devil or whatever it is that carries that name to bow on its knee at the power and authority of the name of Jesus. And so by the authority of that name, by the authority of the name of Jesus, I decree tonight that you are liberated from every oppression of the devil in your life. Glory to God, I felt that one. Hallelujah. I came tonight to wage war on the devil in your life. I came tonight so that you would be liberated from every oppression of the devil in your life. And I don't care what oppression it is. I don't care if it's a long-lasting oppression. I don't care if it's been in your life for 20 years. Every oppression bows at the name of Jesus. Every devil bows at the name of Jesus. When somebody comes on the scene that knows that the light of God that you emanate destroys darkness, and that all it takes is to declare the victory against the devil, and someone comes on the scene that recognizes that powers and principalities bow whenever you get on the scene, then that oppression will leave. And I understand the authority of the name of Jesus. And by that authority, I declare right now to anybody that believes it, that your breakthrough and your liberty has come tonight. Hallelujah. So number four, the anointing of the Holy Spirit breaks every yoke. Number five is this. Nate. Look at what he said. He said, married Grayson is different. OM goodness. Yeah, brother. One will put 1,000 to flight, but two will put 10,000 to flight. Glory to God. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and receives favor from the Lord. You know, I was gonna do this live stream on how to have a long-lasting marriage, but for some reason I felt like that wasn't the move. Could you even imagine? It'd be the worst move. Number five key for breakthrough is to prophesy your triumph, to prophesy over the situation. There's no situation, whether it's caused by the devil or whether it's death, in anybody's life that will not respond to the prophecy of the Word of God. There's three different types of prophecy. There's prophesying or declaring the Word of God over a situation that isn't aligning with the Word of God. The second type is when God deliberately has a word about a situation that's not in the Bible. So like, let's say, like, if I were to prophesy that God's going to give you a car, there's not a scripture that says, and when Jesus came, a car was delivered unto the man that needed one. That would be like a word of the will of God for your situation that's being prophesied. And when I prophesy it, it brings it to pass. But the third type of prophecy is to use your authority as a Christian, to use your authority and to speak something by faith in Mark 11, 22 through 24, that if you say it and you do not doubt what you say, but you believe that what you say will come to pass, that you will have whatever you say. And that's declaring and prophesying by the spirit of faith, by the faith of God. And that there's nothing that won't come to pass that whenever you speak from the faith of God in the spirit of faith. But go to Ezekiel 37. Verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord, you know. So he comes across a situation that was a hopeless situation. These bones were completely dry. And he has Ezekiel look at them and evaluate basically how hopeless the situation was. And he asked him, he said, Son of man, can these bones live? So then the Lord tells him this. He says, and again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. So notice that to prophesy is to declare the word of the Lord over a situation. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. As I prophesied, as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, and there was no breath in them. So the moment he prophesied, the dead bones, flesh came upon the dead bones and created a body again. But then it goes further. It says, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceedingly great army. So the wind is the wind of God that brings resurrection life. When God breathed into Adam, he formed Adam from the dust of the earth, and then he breathed into Adam's nostrils, and Adam became a living being. So notice it was the same thing. God sent his word, and it created these from bone, it created bodies again. But then God prophesied to the spirit, and the spirit entered into them, and they came back to life. And it's the same thing as whenever God created the world. You know, when God created the world, he saw the situation of the earth. It's this darkness hovered over the face of the earth, and the spirit of God was upon the waters. So the Holy Spirit was already on the earth. But even though the Holy Spirit was on the earth, darkness was still there. And God wasn't satisfied with the situation. God didn't like the state of the earth. So what did he do? He sent forth his word, and the word combined with the spirit and created everything on the earth in 6 days. There's no hopeless situation with God. I'm here tonight to revive dead situations in your life. Believe God tonight that anything dead in your life will be resurrected by the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. The life of God, all it takes is one word, one prophecy over your life where all death flees and the spirit of death submits to the word of God. So prophesy over your life tonight. Declare over your life tonight and prophesy that every dead situation will turn and come alive tonight. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy right now that every dead situation in your life, I prophesy the life of God breathes upon it tonight. Any person that's on the edge of death right now, that's in a hospital bed, that has a cancer diagnosis, that has stage 4 kidney problems, that needs new organs, that their organs are dying, or their body is dying, I decree you shall live right now in the name of Jesus. Any dead financial problems, any dead careers, I declare in the name of Jesus, your career is resurrected tonight. Hallelujah. Any dead relationships with your kids or with your parents, I decree right now in the name of Jesus, you are will be reunited in the mighty name of Jesus. I prophesy the life of God over every situation. Father, send your spirit on every dead thing of anybody that's watching tonight that has faith in their heart. Send the Spirit of God to breathe life upon every dead situation. In Jesus' mighty name, receive a resurrection tonight in your life. In Jesus' mighty name, I decree breakthrough tonight. I prophesy breakthrough over everybody watching. In the mighty name of Jesus, it's done in Jesus' name. I see you coming out of here without any hand of the devil on your life after this. Everything being changed. I don't need to pray for you personally. All it takes is faith in your heart and the Word of God hitting that faith, and the Spirit of God jumps out of the Word and changes everything in your life. And I see that coming to pass for you right now. So number 5 is to prophesy your triumph. And number 6, and this is the final one we'll talk about, is a love for God. Go to Romans 8, and I'll show you why this brings breakthrough. Go to verse 31. So this is Paul talking about the love of God. And he says this: what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So what he's saying here is not that that God will always love you no matter what, and and none of these things will ever keep God from loving you. That's not the point he's getting at. That's true. God's love is unconditional. But what he's saying here is this. He's saying that as long as God loves you, you can triumph and will triumph in any and every situation of your life as long as you have contact with the love of God. As long as you love God and God loves you, you are predetermined as a Christian to be triumphant and to receive perpetual breakthrough in your life. You know, there's one key to accessing perpetual breakthrough in your life. If I could sum it all up into one key, it's this one key: to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you love God wholeheartedly, then you will never fail to access God's breakthrough power all the days of your life. Because as long as you love God, you're in connection with his love for you, and it has determined by the Word of God, it's an unbreakable law that you will be more than a conqueror all the days of your life. A conqueror is like a fighter that gets in the ring, exchanges blows, but then gets the victory. But the higher stage of victory is to be more than a conqueror, to be triumphant, where you destroy every single opposition without even exchanging blows. And the loving God launches you into a realm where you're triumphant in life. And the deeper your love for God goes, the more triumphant you are. But let's break this down. It says, if God is for you, who can be against you? So if God loves you and he's on your side, then show me any devil, any oppression, any wicked person that will ever defeat you. That's what he says right out of the gate. Then he elaborates, he who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So the love of God gives. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. The life of God on this earth and the life of God forever. Eternal life in heaven and God's life that destroys death on this earth. But so it says God so loved the world that he gave. So love gives. It's the love of God that compels him to give. And so what he's basically saying is he said, he who loved us so much that he gave his son, how will he not also love us so much that he'll give us everything that we need? That he'll give us all things. So the love of God compels him to give you Jesus and to give you every grace required to destroy every attack of the devil. Verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Now he's talking about the devil and he's talking about wicked people. The Bible says the devil is the accuser of the brethren. So he's saying, what devil will bring any charge against God's elect, against God's children? If God has justified his children, who will condemn them? God, the judge of all judges, the judge of all creation, if he's decreed that you're justified and cleansed and free from all accusation, then show me one devil that can bring an accusation that will affect you. And then it says, Christ, who's died and risen again, makes intercession for you. Then it says again, who shall separate you from the love of Christ? And then he lists all these things. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution. So persecution, anybody coming against you, any human coming against you, famine, any natural thing that could come on the earth that can cause you to lack food or water. Nakedness, lack of clothing. Peril, sword, any war between nations. Shall any of these things be able to separate you from the love of Christ? It's saying, shall any of these things be able to separate you from God's love that gives you the victory in everything? If God loved you so much that he gave Christ to give you the victory from sin, how much more does that victory not expand to every situation in your life to guarantee that you're more than a conqueror in all situations? Then it says, for your sake, we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep to the slaughter. So he's basically saying, because of Jesus, wicked people and the devil believe that they ought to be killed and slaughtered all day long. He says, yet in all of these things, regardless of what the devil brings against you, you are more than a conqueror because of him who loved you. Because of the love of God, you are triumphant. Because of the love of God, you have access to being more than a conqueror on the earth. It's the love of God that gives you breakthroughs. And whenever you love God, it taps you into God's love for you. It gives you access to it so that you can receive a breakthrough in every situation of your life. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. So neither death, or principalities or powers, so any demonic power or force, or anything that's present right now, or on the earth, or anything in the future, nor anything height, nor anything depth, so no height on the earth. It stretches all the way to heaven, the love of God, and it goes all the way into the depths. Shall be able to separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. The love of God is the guarantee for your life that you will have breakthrough in any situation. There's no situation that's too far for God to rescue you. So right now, if you need to get right with God, if you need a breakthrough, but even more than that, if you know in your heart that if you were to die tonight that you wouldn't go to heaven, I want you to make it right with God. I want you to know tonight that you're going to go to heaven. So if that's you, I want you right now to pray this after me and to confess to the Lord that you want to get right with him and that you want to follow Jesus. So if you want to get right with God and follow Jesus and become a born-again, Holy Ghost-filled Christian that lives triumphantly on the earth with a ticket to heaven, a guaranteed future and a guaranteed destiny, then pray this after me right now, and God will hear you from heaven. Say this, say, Father, today I choose to follow Jesus. Cleanse me of all of my sins. Make me a new person and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I confess all my sins. I turn from them and I repent from them. Cleanse me by the blood of Jesus. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe that he rose from the dead. I believe that he's alive today. And today I choose to give him my life. Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that, you're saved. You're born again. You're going to heaven. And what I want you to do, go to my website and click I Just Got Saved. The website's thevictorylifeministries.com. Click I Just Got Saved and fill in your info. And we're going to send you two free books, a free gift that will help you follow Jesus and accomplish the glorious destiny that God has for you. Now, there's one more key to breakthrough that I want to talk about in an area of life that will help you. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to talk to you real quick about the grace for breakthrough in your finances. There's a grace in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 that talks about, Nate says, I wonder what those books are. It's The New Birth by Kenneth Hagin and The Believer's Authority by Kenneth Hagin. The New Birth talks about who you are in Christ, and The Believer's Authority tells you the authority and the victory you have over the devil. So there's a grace in the Bible called the giving grace. And this grace from God is the grace for breakthrough and prosperity. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm going to show it to you. Verse 1, it says, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1 says this, Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift in the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. So catch this. He's talking about how in Macedonia, there was an attack of the devil against that church, an affliction from the devil that caused deep poverty. But he says, Paul's writing this to the church in Corinth. So he's writing to the church in Corinth about this church of Macedonia. And he says, I want to make known to you this grace of God, this spiritual grace, this spiritual blessing that's been given to you from God, an ability that comes from the Holy Spirit that this church tapped into that gave them victory. So he says that they received this grace that even in an affliction of deep poverty and this trial, that they abounded in joy. They had an abundance of joy, and they abounded in rich, liberal giving. And he says that he bears witness that they gave not only just according to their ability, but they gave beyond their ability. So that means in the natural, without the Holy Ghost and without this grace, they would not have been able to give this way. They would not have been able to give with joy and willingness and gladness of heart in the way that they did. And catch this. That this church implored Paul with much urgency that they would receive the gift, this financial gift, and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So literally this church urgently implored Paul, saying, look, we know that you don't even want to take an offering from us, but we recognize from God that we need to give this to you because it's going to bless the church, it's going to bless the kingdom of God, and it's going to be the key to our prosperity. It's going to break us through in the Spirit. So what I want you to understand here is this, is that there's giving, there's financial giving of a seed or of money into the kingdom of God that causes a breakthrough to come upon your finances. And this passage, is 2 Corinthians 8, is describing this grace to give that produces a breakthrough. It's a grace that will come upon you where whenever you've sowed a certain number of seeds and you haven't seen a breakthrough, that the grace will come upon you and you know when I give into this ministry that a breakthrough is going to come upon me. I know the breakthrough is near and I know that the harvest is soon. It gives you the ability to sow with joy consistently until the harvest comes. Because many people, they say, oh, I sowed one seed, where's the harvest? Sowing seed is something you do, and according to the law of sowing and reaping, what you sow will come back to you in accordance to how much you sowed. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow abundantly, you reap abundantly. So the law of sowing and reaping will remain as long as the earth remains, according to the covenant of God. So sowing also always produces a harvest. But the Bible says to not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, you'll reap a harvest if you're faithful and you do not quit and give up. So all it takes to receive a harvest is to remain faithful and to continue to give. And so the grace of God gives you the ability that regardless of your situation, to sow seeds into the kingdom of heaven that produce that harvest. It's a grace from God. It's literally an empowerment from God for your giving to work. Honestly. And many people, they say, well, I sowed one seed. Where did my harvest come from? And Pastor Jonathan, I'm not as strong as him, but he goes, why don't you quit Christianity? Like, think about it. It's like saying, I prayed a prayer and God didn't answer it. So maybe this thing doesn't work. Easy prey for the devil, honestly. But I want to say this. This wasn't all the time, by the way. It wasn't like every single time that the Macedonians were poor. Like every single time that they ever had a financial hiccup, this grace compelled them to give. But what I'm saying is, he's talking about this grace that becomes available, where you recognize a moment where an avenue where when you give, a breakthrough will come. When you give, the grace of God's there, that when you give, you'll go to another level financially. And notice this, Paul's ministry was that avenue, and they recognized it. So they urged Paul. Paul wasn't trying to take an offering, but they were literally saying, take this offering, give us an opportunity to sow this. We know that when we give you this money, we give this for the church and for the kingdom of God to grow. We know that the moment we give it, we will break through. It's literally the grace to break through financially. And so I want to give you an opportunity tonight. I didn't want to take an offering, but I felt from the Lord since that if you want to break through, if this is about breakthrough, that you need to have an opportunity to break through in every area. And the only way to break through financially is to give. Finances come down to basically two things. Prosperity. It comes down to loving God and giving to God from your love for God. Because God's love compelled him to give Jesus. So your love compels you to give to God. And you can't give God salvation. You can only give him your heart and your work. And your finances, your money. Your money is basically people's time. Their time valued, time that they've invested is what your money is. So your love compels you to give God. So what I was saying is prosperity is two things. It's your love for God expressed in your time and in your work and in your money that you give into the work of God. Just like in the Old Testament, they would take an offering to do the work of God and to build the temple. So it's that. Prosperity comes down to your love for God producing your giving into the kingdom of God. And when you have those two things down, according to the law of sowing and reaping, a harvest will come. Hallelujah. And if you give without joy and without love, then it won't work. But your covenant with God is different than just you believe God for healing, but you have to sow seed in faith for prosperity, according to the word of God. So if you feel tonight that there's a way that this is an avenue for you to receive a breakthrough financially, I feel the anointing on it, and I want to give you that opportunity. So go ahead, pop up the ways to give. Uno momento. And then I'm going to pray over you for breakthrough financially. And when you get in covenant with God financially, that's whenever things expedite, really in many areas of your life. So here are the ways to give. There's info at thevictorylifeministries.com via Zelle. So you can give via Zelle, you can give via Venmo, PayPal. You can mail a check to P.O. Box 998, Decatur, Texas 76234. And then we're believing for people to partner monthly with the ministry. We're looking for people to partner $84 a month with the ministry. And if you want to do that, go to thevictorylifeministries.com/ways to give. And whenever you give, type in the dollar amount that you want to give monthly and just click monthly rather than individual. And that will put you on our monthly partner list. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to pray for you. And when I pray for you, believe God for an increase. Believe God for breakthrough on this seed. Believe God that what you give is going to open things up in the spirit. And God does it in many different ways. When you're in covenant with God, the blessings of God and your inheritance comes in. You know, every covenant father that was in covenant with God received divine business ideas to increase. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They received divine wisdom from heaven. Wisdom and strategies from God to increase financially on the earth. Abraham, it says that he was rich in livestock and in silver and gold. He dug wells and was receiving water for his flocks and for his herds whenever the Philistines were searching for water. Divine wisdom. Isaac sowed in the midst of a famine. Even in the natural, when it looked like there was a famine, Isaac sowed, and he received 100-fold. And then Jacob learned how to breed cattle in his advantage. Divine wisdom from God on how to breed cattle. So God will give you new ideas. God will give you new wisdom. And here, let me finish this. There was one more thing I wanted to say. So go to verse 7, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Or verse 6, it says, "He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." So this grace, this breakthrough grace of giving causes you to joyfully give regardless of the situation. It brings you a joy in your giving. It makes your giving come from a cheerful heart. But then number 8, this is what it brings in. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So there's grace that you didn't have before, empowerment from God, power from the Holy Ghost that you didn't access before that became accessible to you after you received the grace to give. So great giving opens the door and gives you the ability to access grace from God financially, but in areas, different areas. Wisdom. It will give you different business ideas. It will give you insight into the ways that God thinks about business that open up the hidden riches of the earth. Hallelujah. In verse 11, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. It brings glory to God whenever you prosper. It causes people to thank God and give glory to God because God's the source of all the prosperity. So when God sees you catch that grace to give and you give that way, you find an avenue to give. You find a ministry that gives you an opportunity for a breakthrough. And you take advantage of it, God sees it, and he pours out the grace, and it brings glory to God. I'm going to pray over you for everybody that's giving today. And I'm going to bless this offering. We'll call it a breakthrough offering. In Jesus' name, God, I bless every single dollar that comes in right now. Large amounts or small amounts, you know the heart of every person. You know the faith of every person. I pray right now that you would loose this grace upon everybody that gives a breakthrough offering or a breakthrough seed. Everybody that gives today, loose breakthrough on their finances today. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare it. Let it come to pass right now. Open up their mind to new ideas. Let a grace rest on them today from this offering. A grace and a power from heaven that they didn't have before. Open up the heavens over their life. Just like you open up the heavens for tithing, open up the heavens in an even greater way for those that tithe and give with a given grace. Open up the heavens and pour out power from heaven on their life by the Spirit of God to force them to prosper and to force the money that's in the hands of the wicked to be transferred over into their hands. I decree this right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Every devil that has a hand on your finances, I decree that your time is up right now in the name of Jesus. And every harvest that's been waiting, that's been held up by the devil, in the name of Jesus, I decree that it comes into your hands tonight from this breakthrough seed. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Well, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I felt the Holy Ghost tonight. I felt the presence of the Lord. I hope this blessed you. If this blessed you tonight, let me know. Reach out to me. Text me. DM me on Instagram. Share this for people that need it. Email me, whatever. I would love to hear a testimony. If you have a testimony from tonight, send it my way. It would really bless me. I felt in my spirit that tonight was a night of breakthrough. Well, praise the Lord. Well, thank you for everybody that hopped on tonight. I hope you enjoyed this. I hope that this blessed you. But I love you. My name's Grayson Wilson. We'll be on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. So I'll see you this upcoming Monday at 7 p.m. I love you. I'll see you next time. God bless you.